Let's turn to Mark chapter 11 this morning. Mark 11. Mark chapter 11. This is kind of why we sang that song last. Mark chapter 11, let's start reading with verse 1. When they came nigh to Jerusalem unto Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sendeth forth two of his disciples, saith unto them, Go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as ye be entered into it, ye shall find a colt tied, whereon never man sat. Loose him and bring him. If any man say unto you, Why do you this? Say ye, that the Lord hath need of him, and straightway he will send him hither. And they went their way and found the colt tied by the door, without in a place where two ways met. And they loose him, and certain of them that stood there said unto them, What do ye loosing the colt? And they said unto him, Even as Jesus had commanded, and they let him go. Let them go. They brought the colt to Jesus and cast their garments on him and sat upon him. And many spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches off the trees and strawed them in the way. They that went before and they that followed cried, saying, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple. And when he had looked round about upon all the things, and now the eventide was come, he went out into Bethany with the 12. Let's bow our heads and pray. Now, Father, we come to you here this morning and reflect on this day when the Lord Jesus Christ had his triumphal entry into Jerusalem on the back of this young colt. We pray that you might teach us something from this here today. Father, we surely look forward to a day when Jesus Christ rides a white stallion back into this world, gets us out of here, and then comes back at Armageddon and gets what's truly His. And Father, we rightfully say so and are looking forward to the day of being able to take part in it. We pray today that You'll bless the message. If there's somebody here unsaved, I pray You might help them see clearly their need for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Alrighty, this passage that you read here is a fulfillment of something that Zechariah prophesied all the way back in the Old Testament. Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, qualifies that the Lord Jesus Christ will come riding into Jerusalem on a colt, the foal of an ass, all right? And so you have this fulfillment here in this passage. This event is attested to in all four Gospels, okay? It's known as the triumphal entry of Jesus Christ into Jerusalem, and maybe you don't get quite the idea of how big a deal it is in Mark. If you go back to Matthew chapter 21, real quick, keep your finger in Mark 11, though. Matthew 21, just to give a brief idea of just how big a deal this really was, this was not just a group of 50 people that gathered together. Matthew chapter 21, go down to verse 8. And a very great multitude, not just a few people, spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. When he was coming to Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? But the entire city of Jerusalem was moved over this matter. I would qualify it this way. This is as close as Jesus Christ came to being coronated and recognized as the King of the Kingdom of Heaven in His mortal life down here. Israel came as close that day to genuinely anointing and coronating Him King of the Jews that day above all others. Jesus Christ never had a grander day in His mortal life as far as being recognized as the King that He was. Now, I understand Jesus Christ still went and died for our sins at Calvary. There was a greater triumph at the cross, right? Jesus Christ rose from the dead. So that is the great triumph we talked about this morning in Sunday school. Furthermore, I understand that this is just a mere shadow of what will happen in the future when Jesus Christ really does come and really is coronated and anointed by God as King of the Jews, King of the nations, King of kings and Lord of lords. So there's a greater day ahead. I understand that. Still, you have to admit that a lot of things came together this day that we're reading about in Mark chapter 11. I wanted to point out to you something. Look down in Mark chapter 11, verse 4. I was reading my Bible. I even read my Bible on vacation this week. And something kind of jumped out at me that I hadn't really noticed much of before. In verse 4, "And they went their way and found the colt tied by the door without in a place where two ways met." It kind of jumped out and hit me, a place where two ways met. There where those two ways met, this crossroad at this nondescript village way back in 30-something A.D., at this place where men walk and camels come through and where two ways meet, there was something that happened. Events, circumstances came together in such a way, coalesced in such a way that something very extraordinary happened. Something that had never happened before. Something that never will happen, or that never happened again. It will be great, more greatly fulfilled in the future, but and that day, things came together at this little crossroad where nobody had ever seen anything like this before. It's where the Lord Jesus Christ climbed upon the back of a colt and they strawed palm branches before Him and they sang, "Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is He that cometh in the name of the Lord," all the way to Jerusalem. It's a remarkable thing. And it all happened where two ways met. Now, the title of this message this morning is, predictably, where two ways met. And you say, well, what are we supposed to learn from that? Well, I wanted to point out a couple of things to you. First of all, there are things that men cannot engineer. You know, we do some pretty novel things with our engineering. You can elect or appoint a guy as your campaign manager. If he is really adept and really sly and cunning, has enough money, he can manipulate the press and wind up getting you an awful lot of attention as a candidate for political office. Get the right guy with the right amount of money, the right amount of slickness and craftiness, and he can engineer quite a lot of attention. They do that all the time, right? But there are things that men cannot engineer. There are, I'll put it this way, blessings that you will never succeed in engineering for yourself. That said, that this happened where two ways met. That reminded me of a verse that says, now there's a way, there's a way where two ways met. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Right? In this place where two ways met, the right things came together. The right colt was there. The right guys came along. They untied the colt and led him away. And the owner didn't even say anything. They said, "Oh, the Lord hath need of him." And the guy said, "Oh, well, fine. Go ahead." How many days does that happen in a week? Only on this day. Only on this day where the Lord engineered this together at a place where two ways met. Now, considering those things, think about one more thing with me, if you will. Think about all the places in this world where two ways meet. I mean, talk about traffic, just nothing more than just cars. Think about all the places where two ways meet. There are thousands, hundreds of thousands, perhaps, well, certainly, across the world, millions of places where two ways meet, paths, river crossings, jungle pathways, where one interstate meets up with another interstate. You have these big, huge clover leaves. Downtown Minneapolis can be a little bit confusing at times, but even that doesn't compare to Dallas or Chicago or L.A. as far as the confusion of places where two ways meet. You have some intersections where you have four lanes coming each direction. A right turn, a left turn, and two straight forward. But I mean eight lanes and a light. Or you have a simple four-way stop light. Or simply a four-way stop sign. Or simply a really just a place where two ways meet where people just come and yield to one another. You know, we have a stop sign up by my house where everybody comes and has to, you have to figure out who's there first, and that guy gets to go first. Okay? But think of all the places where two ways meet, and then think about walking across this world. Think about being blindfolded and being dropped somewhere and you don't know where you are. And here you are in this big city, you have a car, and you're asked to find your way home. But you don't know where you are. How will you ever determine without a cell phone and GPS of which direction you should go when you go through these places where two ways meet? After you think about traffic a little bit, think then about something broader. Think about the circumstances and crossing points in life, crossroads. Think about all the moral and spiritual crossing points you come to. Think about all the decisions that are presented a man that's lost, that doesn't have a Bible, that doesn't have a direction. He is stumbling around in the darkness. He's asked to make decisions. He's presented options. Which way should I go? He has decisions to make. Think of the people you run into, acquaintances, friends, chance meetings. Think of choices, circumstances. Think of all the decisions that have to be made correctly in youth, or for that matter, in adulthood. Think about options for career, education, job, a mate, a family. And how are you going to raise that family right? Think about all the options that are presented to you. Think about then the coincidence things that happen, the chance things that happen. There are billions, there are millions of possibilities where you come to a cross point in life. And what will you do? Let me ask you a question. How is one to know the correct way, the right way, when you come to a crossing point? I mean, this day, this was a place where two ways met. Well, fine, but there are millions of other places on this earth where two ways meet. In life, there are millions. By the time you multiply it out to a few people, there are billions of places that you cross paths with people, decisions, moral, spiritual things, circumstances, chance things, that sort of thing. How is one to determine which way to go? So I'd like to preach to you for a little while this morning on where two ways met. I have very simply just a handful of things to mention to you. First of all, I would like to say that this is not just any two ways. This place where two ways met, these two ways were not just any two ways. This is not some place you go and you flip a coin, make a decision, higgledy-piggledy, shrug your shoulders, you figure that one way is as good as another. One way is not as good as another. Any other crossing point, any other crossroads, this doesn't happen. If the circumstances aren't in place, this doesn't happen. This is not just any two ways. First of all, this is a place where two ways met, where Scripture is fulfilled. If you'll keep your finger in Mark chapter 11 real quick, go back just a few books to Zechariah chapter 9. Zechariah 9, next to last book of the Old Testament, Zechariah 9. Zechariah 9 was written by Zechariah. Zechariah 9:9, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion, shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just, having salvation lowly and riding upon an ass and upon a colt, the foal of an ass, that was prophesied about 550 years before it took place. Now this crossroads, this place where two ways met, was a place where Scripture was fulfilled. I want you to think about the fact that the world, the entire world, after Zechariah had prophesied this, for the next 550 years, the world and heaven waited for the proper time where at a certain instant, where those two ways met, the right colt was in the right place and the right guys that needed him came along. I mean, any other day of the week, any other day of the centuries preceding it, nothing is going on at that crossroads. You know? It is a place where Scripture is fulfilled. Think of all the meeting points, the crossing points of all the trails and all the roads and all the highways, all the trade routes in the Middle East in that day, and all the places that could have been chosen, all the places that men trod, and nothing happened at those crossroads like this. But at this place where two ways met, the Scripture was fulfilled. Think of the number of men, think of the number of asses, colts, that at one time or another were tied at the hitching post of this particular crossroads. And nothing happened. For 550 years beforehand and for all the centuries before that, for that matter, nothing happened at that crossroads. But on this day, the Scripture was fulfilled. See, people, there are some things you cannot engineer. You can brown-nose your boss. You can, by the power of your will, do some things in this life that secure you certain things that you want. You can, by ambition, get certain things. But there are things in this life you cannot engineer. And this is one of them. I want to say it. This place where two ways met is the place where the Scripture is fulfilled. For 550 years before this, there is nothing going on at this crossroads. I'll tell you the second thing about this crossroads that makes it not just any two ways, just any place where two ways met. This is the crossroads where God set the stage. Okay? The Lord Himself had set certain pieces in place. There was a colt tied there outside that door. That colt had never been ridden by a man standing there at that door. He sends his disciples along. Think about the engineering necessary for God to arrange at a given day, at a given hour, at just the right crossroads, a given colt never having been ridden is there. And when the guy comes out and says, "Hey, what are you doing with my Cadillac?" The guy says, "Well, the Lord hath need of him." He says, "Oh, okay." What other day does that happen? It doesn't. It doesn't. I want to say it's where God set the stage. How many hitching rails? How many hitching posts in Israel? How many villages could you come to where you could see multiple hitching posts, multiple crossroads, many ways that anybody could enter, find a colt standing? How many villages like that? How many crossroads like that? How many hitching posts like that? But God had the right pieces in place for this particular one, on this particular day. The disciples, as far as we can see, only had one opportunity to fulfill this. There is no indication that if they had missed the opportunity that there would have been another. Perhaps not. But my point simply is, there are places you come in life. You know, you can make a ton of mistakes. You come to millions and millions, thousands and thousands of crossing points, of ways where two ways meet in your lifetime. Will you make the right decision? How will you know which direction to take? How will you know if there's a colt to be chosen? How will you know what to say if somebody says this? It's a place where God set the stage. I want to say something further. It's where the ass's colt is secured for a need. Go down to chapter 11, verse 2, real quick. Mark 11 and verse 2. He saith unto them, go your way into the village over against you. As soon as ye be entered into it, ye shall find a colt tied, whereon never man sat. Loose him and bring him. If any man say unto you, why do ye this? Say ye that the Lord hath need of him. The Lord hath need of him. The Lord needed that colt. The Lord needed a colt that no man had ever ridden to be tied at that place when those guys came along. And the reason why is because he needed him. Now, I don't know if you realize this, folks, but in Job chapter 11, the Bible says that when a man is born into this life, just the natural man, unsaved, you know what he's born as? He's born as a wild ass's colt. The Lord had need of this ass's colt. He had need of him. It's a picture, folks, of my salvation. You know why the Lord saved me? Because He needs me. Okay? He wants to give me something to do. He has something for you in your life. He has need of you. I don't mean that you're indispensable. He can find somebody else. But He saved you for a reason. And in the day that I received Jesus Christ as my Savior, I find myself at that hitching post when the right people come along and have something to say and say, the Lord has need of you. I don't know what you're doing for Jesus Christ, but the Lord has need of you. I don't know if you think you're useless. I don't know if maybe you're not saved. I'm telling you, the Lord hath need of you. The Lord has a plan for your life. This crossroads is where the ass's colt is secured. For a need, a man gets saved. You might want to rethink all the times you've been discouraged door knocking. Again, think about a crossroads where thousands, perhaps, people a day walk by, where hundreds and hundreds of asses, camels, and donkeys a year are tied outside at the hitching post. Maybe there's a general store at the crossroads or whatever, some sort of door of some sort of establishment, a shop or something. Think of all the asses, colts, all the camels, all the donkeys that have been tied at that hitching post in the last year. But on this day, the right colt with the right virtue is tied there, and the right guys come along and have something to say. Ladies and gentlemen, maybe you should rethink all the times you've been discouraged door knocking. You never know when you've come to a place where two ways meet. And you never know what the Lord's going to do with what you do. We walk by faith and not by sight. That much is true. But maybe you should rethink street preaching. We street preach on the street, and so often you preach week after week, and not all that many people appreciate it. And nobody gets saved, and you wonder, am I even doing any good? All I can say is, all the times before all these men have walked by this crossing point, and nothing happens until this day. We're in a place where two ways meet. The Lord God Almighty fulfilled Scripture, had the right colt there at the right time. The right guys came by and said the right thing. Before you know it, this colt is straddled by the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Maybe you should rethink church attendance. You know what the testimony is? Most folks will tell you that are saved that there was a day that somebody spoke to them or that they heard a sermon that forever changed the way they looked at things. And yet, knowing that that's what happens, sometimes folks tend to kind of get lax with how they deal with church stuff, sermon stuff, faithfulness in church, that sort of thing. Maybe you should rethink that. Maybe it's true that you've been here 100 times. Maybe it's true that you haven't seen anything spectacular happen in your life. The question is, are you in the right way or aren't you? The question is, when is it that the Lord is intent to do something with you at this crossing point? On this day, that the Lord did something that He's never done again at any crossing point like it in life. Where these two ways met, the Lord God has never duplicated again what He did here. Didn't have to. How many times will you pass that crossing point, walk past it, and the Lord doesn't do anything? How will you know the right way to go? So with that said, I have one last thing along those lines. This is not just any two ways. This crossing point is where these disciples got to take part in something sublime and glorious. The right colt was in the right spot at the right time. The right guys came by, said the right thing. But before it's over, this colt winds up being straddled and ridden by the Lord Jesus Christ, and great multitudes followed. In fact, the entirety of the city of Jerusalem was moved by folks shouting, "Hosanna in the highest! Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord!" It's a glorious. It's as glorious as anything that Jesus Christ ever did here on this earth, as far as nighness and nearness to being coronated king. Israel was never closer to coronating the right king in the right spot as they were this day. The entirety of Jerusalem was moved. Jesus Christ got glory that day in a way He hadn't before the public in Israel. I know there's a greater fulfillment to come. I'm just saying, ladies and gentlemen, this is not your average cross street. This is not where you come to a crossing point, flip a coin and say, I don't care which way I go, maybe this way is the best, and just go that way. No. You come to this cross point, and the Lord tells you what you should do. I want to say, secondly, those two ways, it says that he met, the colt was found by the door without in a place where two ways met. Those two ways were not just any two ways. Secondly, those two ways were marked entirely by the ordinary. Now, what I mean by that is, you will admit this is not your average intersection. In fact, in light of the fact of what God did there, I mean, this is the place where the Lord found the right colt for His Son to sit on for the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Right? Not just your average intersection. Not on this day, anyway. But, here are these guys. They walk down this road. They're not aware that anything's going on, say. They walk up to this intersection. It's just another village. Come to this four-way stop. And there's maybe a general store or a shop there. And, there's a little ass's colt tied outside. Big deal. There is no aura about the place. There is no gilded sign there that says, "This is the spot." It's not like that. There's no red post with a bright orange lever on it that says, "Pull here for the ride of your life." There's nothing like that. This is just common stuff. There's a shop. There's a four-way stop. There's a hitching post. There are 25 other hitching rails outside of establishments down the street. There are other donkeys tied to hitching rails down the street. But he had said, "Come to this place. When you enter, you're going to find a colt whereon never man sat." And that colt was in that place. My point is, those two ways were marked entirely by the ordinary. They looked completely innocent. There was nothing to indicate that this place was in any way special whatsoever. There was no lever to pull. There was no glowing fluorescent sign. Nothing like that happened. You may want to rethink the ordinary. You may want to rethink the mundane. You get into the habit of praying before a meal. Maybe you've even gotten into the habit of kneeling down by your bed or by your chair before you leave the house in the morning for work. It's a good habit. It's a fine exercise. But I wonder if it's become mundane for you. You come to church. You come to church faithfully. But did you pray before you got to church? Did you come to church expectantly that God might literally use something said today to change your life, if not to get you saved because you're already saved, at least to give you light in something in your life that you need changed desperately? Maybe you should rethink the ordinary. It's ordinary that on Saturday folks at Blessed Hope Baptist Church go to visitation. It's fairly ordinary when the weather's decent that on a Friday we go straight preaching with a number of people. Those things are ordinary. People that you run into, you ordinarily, I see people all the time at Cub or Walmart that I recognize and having seen them before. How many times must somebody cross your path before you deem that maybe it was God that put them there? Ladies and gentlemen, this crossing point which changed the way Israel looked at its Savior, this place where two ways met, where Jesus Christ was placed on the back of that donkey and songs were sung to Him, and He almost in that day was coronated king, at least insofar as this earth's concerned. He will have a greater fulfillment in the future. That much is true. You have to admit, some things fell together at this way where two ways met that had never happened before. And it's never happened since. How many times does a guy get a chance to cross through where those two ways meet before the Lord says, okay, well, He's not going to do anything, so we're not going to put it back together again for Him? I want to say thirdly, those two ways were absolutely undiscernible without the Lord's Word. Look in John chapter 12 real quick, if you would. In John 12, the brutal fact of the matter is even the guys that lived through this for a time didn't fully realize what had happened. In John 12, just to satisfy that we're talking about the same thing, verse 13, they took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet Him and cried, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. And Jesus, when He had found a young ass, sat thereon, as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, thy king cometh sitting on an ass's colt. These things understood not His disciples at the first. But when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they these things. At the time, the disciples, frankly, didn't even get it. They did what they were told. This thing came to pass. But somehow it didn't dawn on them what they had just lived through. That they had lived through a fulfillment of Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. Somehow it bypassed their attention that they had actually, what they had actually done. I wanted you to see that because I wanted you to see that those two ways are undiscernible except for the Lord's Word. How would they have discerned that this was the place where the Lord's crosshairs are today? I mean, on some nondescript village, just another gray Middle Eastern village at this nondescript, nothing particular about it, place where two paths come in, where camels walk and there's animal dung all over the place and people come and try to avoid running into each other and stuff like that. But you can take a right, you can take a left, or you can go straight forward. You can stop at this shop, get some food, buy some supplies. There's a hitching rail outside where a donkey or a camel might be hitched so it doesn't wander off. You see what I'm saying? There was nothing there that a man would walk up and say, boy, this is the spot where God's going to do something today. This is the cross. This is the crosshairs of God's scope today. God is aiming at this point here. There is nothing like that. If there's nothing like that, then how do you know what you should do? When you come to a place where two ways meet in your life, how do you know what to do? How did these guys know what to do? these guys knew what to do because, quite simply, Mark chapter 11, verse 2. He saith unto them, go your way into the village over against you. As soon as ye be entered into it, ye shall find a colt tied whereon never man sat. Loose him and bring him. Those disciples had to be told what to look for specifically. Look, your inclination will be to think that you're going to trundle through life, you're going to head down the road, and you're going to come to a stop sign one day, and there's going to be fluorescent signage that says, Kyle Stevens needs to stop here. It's going to be so evident that this is a crossing point in your life, that this is a decision that you need to make. It's going to be so plain, so evident to you. You are so discerning. You are so smart. You are so knowledgeable about life that you will be able to recognize that this is a crossing point. This is a decision that needs to be made. I'm going not to be the same forever after this. The brutal fact of the matter is, ladies and gentlemen, that both glory and catastrophe are clothed in everyday garb. You come to a million stop signs in your life, a million decisions, moral decisions, spiritual decisions, circumstances, chance happenings, that sort of thing, and you think you know what you're doing. You think you're sure, in fact, that you will know the great opportunity when it comes. You will recognize your soulmate when she sticks her head out the door. Oh, yeah, that baby, that's her. There is no such guarantee. There are billions of people that have walked through this life and felt sure that when the proper and critical opportunities come at critical crossroads, they will recognize those opportunities and know how to make the right decision. And they have not. Their lives have gone off into eternity. They're dead and in hell today. Their lives are catastrophes. And so it is, ladies and gentlemen, that I just want to say that those two ways are undiscernible without the Word of the Lord. Those disciples would have walked straight through that crossroads, would have walked past that colt, would have never talked to the owner, would have just kept on walking if Jesus Christ hadn't said, go, when you come to the village, as soon as you go in, there's going to be a place where two ways meet. There's going to be a colt tied outside the door. That colt will never have been ridden before. When the guy comes out and says, what are you doing? You say this, and it'll all work out. It would have been impossible for them to know. It would have been impossible for this to have taken place if those guys had not done what Jesus Christ said. They would not have been able to discern the opportunity without the Word of the Lord. I'm telling you, you get tired of the thou shalt and the thou shalt nots. You get tired of how adamant the Bible can be about some things. I mean, this is wrong and this is right. This is an abomination and this is just. And you should do this in this circumstance and you should not do this in that circumstance. Get away from people like that. Go join yourself to people like this. And you tend to think, well, duh, I can make those decisions for myself. I can discern for my own self what's right or what's wrong. I can figure out for myself who I should marry. I don't have to wait on God to bring me somebody to marry. I can figure it out for myself. I have my own tastes. I have my own likes. I have my own dislikes. And frankly, I'm just not interested in subjugating myself to the Bible this far. I want God to bless me. I want God to honor me. I want God to make me happy. And I'll believe on Jesus Christ if that's what it takes. But I am not interested in having my life controlled down to critical points of detail like this, like those crazies at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I just want to tell you, you may have more confidence in your capacity to recognize an opportunity than I have about my capacity to recognize an opportunity. I can tell you this. Without a Bible, I would be lost in this life. I would not know how to recognize an opportunity from a catastrophe. I'm telling you. You don't really think that you come to a crossroads, and at every crossroads, there's a sign that says, if you turn left, it's a disaster. But if you turn right, it's an eternal blessing. There aren't signs like that where you have opportunity by conscience or a moral standard to recognize something ill is going to happen or that this path is right because this right thing may well happen. Still, it's just the truth that you can't foresee what is down the road. I'm telling you that those two ways are undiscernible without the Word of the Lord. Look down in chapter 11, verse 2 again. And saith unto them, go your way into the village over against you. As soon as ye be entered into it, ye shall find a colt tied, whereon never man sat. Loose him and bring him. And if any man say unto you, why do ye this? Say ye that the Lord hath need of him, and straightway he will send him hither. They went their way and found the colt tied by the door without in a place where two ways met, and they loosened. I just want to say lastly, the reward was realized by obedience. The guys were told specifically what to look for and in detail what to do when certain things happened. And they did them. And because they were obedient, they got to partake in Jesus Christ's triumphal entry into Jerusalem. A one-time occurrence in the mortal life, anyway, of Jesus Christ. My point, ladies and gentlemen, is that nothing, I mean nothing, was manifest until they followed orders. Until they came to that cross point, recognized that shop, recognized that this colt was tied outside the store where Jesus Christ said they would be tied. Until they followed those orders, nothing happened. Ladies and gentlemen, you need to maybe rethink walking by faith. You know, by faith, Noah did certain things. By faith, the Lord says, Noah, it's going to rain. He said, it's going to what? He said, it's going to rain. He said, what is rain? Because it had never rained before. By faith, Noah prepared and believed God about something that had never happened before. Now, I'm not trying to cross up faith and works, but I am saying this. God tells you how things are and what you should do in certain circumstances. Okay? Even though you can't see, even though you don't understand, even though it doesn't look like that would happen if I didn't do this, nevertheless, you obey, and by faith you take God at His Word, and you do this, because God said this is what you should do in this case at this crossroads. Maybe you should rethink faith. These days, as I said this morning in Sunday school, more and more, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, and more people are departing entirely from the Bible, and therefore their faith is depleted. Therefore, they cannot walk by faith. They cannot obey what God said because they don't know what God said. They've been taught that under certain circumstances, certain sins are fine if certain situations are met, and it's not true. The Bible says what it says. You should be confident that it means what it says, and you should obey what it says. When you walk by faith, you're walking, you're doing what God said without proof that it's so. You should rethink walking by faith. These guys had nothing to go on. They walked up to this cross point, this way where two ways met, and they go, nothing going on here. I can't tell that a single thing's going to happen here. I can't tell that a single thing has ever happened here or that it ever will. A shop? Really? And a donkey tied outside to a post. This is the big deal? Yeah, that was the big deal. That day, the Savior straddled that donkey and triumphantly entered into Jerusalem, where He came this close to being coronated king by the Jews. There's a greater fulfillment of that day in the future. These guys did this simple thing and got to live through something quite extraordinary. They got to see and hear some things that nobody else has ever seen or heard. I wonder what you're at risk of missing if you're not reading your Bible and you're not listening to the Word of God often enough to know what you should even look for when you come to the stop sign. When you come to a place where you have to yield to this guy coming through, I wonder how you will ever tell that you've come to a place that you need to turn or go forward or turn left or stop and go in this place or whatever. The details of the thing. There was no way they could know except they had followed the Lord's admonitions. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, listen. The Bible says you must be born again. I mean, it says that if you're not born again, the wrath of God abides upon you now. You say, well, I don't feel the wrath of God. I don't care what you feel. You don't have to feel the wrath of God to be under the wrath of God. I'm telling you, there comes a point, you will believe by faith certain things no matter what you say. If you won't accept this faith, you will accept somebody else's. It's a fact. You're going to walk by faith somewhere because you're not smart enough to figure it all out. You're not going to recognize all the things. If you're not going to walk by the faith of the Bible, I promise you that you will walk by the faith of somebody else or something else. It's just an absolute fact. If you don't believe what this says, you'll believe what the media says. If you don't believe what this says, you'll believe what a doctor says. You'll believe what a psychiatrist or a psychologist or a politician says. You will walk by faith. Which faith will you choose? I can honestly give you no higher recommendation than to believe God's Word. And there's nothing more important about God's Word than what it says about your eternal soul. If you are lost, you need to be born again. You've come to a place where two ways meet. God has set everything up here for you to receive Christ as your Savior today. Okay? If you will receive it, you will never be the same. If you're a Christian and you've fallen down a little bit on following through on details, and if you've not been careful to recognize the signs at certain cross points, I'm telling you, the Bible is your answer. If you've been toying with the idea of maybe dropping out of church and maybe getting away from some of this negative preaching stuff, if you've been thinking about maybe I could just go off on my own and do some extra fishing and enjoy myself in a different way on Sunday than going to church and being yelled at and instructed by this guy, I'm asking if maybe you shouldn't reconsider. Maybe you're not quite reflecting God's standards of what God's saying you should do. I'm telling you, you don't have the sense enough to recognize a true opportunity when it comes in life. You may think you do, but you don't. These guys walked up to this point and said, man, what in the world is going on here? There is nothing here. There's a donkey, a hitching rail, and a building. Nothing's going to happen here. Oh, but it did. Oh, but it did. On that day, it did. Because God said it would. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, we thank You this morning for Your provision for us. Lord, we must come to You and once again admit that we really don't have much sense. We don't know what's going on, Father. We don't have far vision and we can't see through details. It is You that have laid these places where two ways meet out. You bring us to a crossroads, and Your Word directs us which way to go, Father, right or wrong, moral or immoral, spiritual or not spiritual. Father, I pray You'd help us to take these things by faith and by course. Pray You'd give Your folks a vision for doing right and walking by faith and not by sight. Let's remain with our heads bowed, eyes closed here for a couple of seconds. Let me appeal to you once again. If you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, I'm not asking you to come do a big embarrassing thing. If you'll come, let me know that you don't, that you're not saved or you don't think you're saved, I'll be more than happy to have somebody take you aside quietly, privately, to just take you through the Bible and show you how you can know for sure you can go to heaven when you die. That's all we're asking. That's all we're asking. On this day, it looked like nothing was going to happen. These guys walked up to an intersection where it looked like nothing ever had happened or ever would happen. But God had ordained that something should happen at that crossroads that day. When those disciples followed His orders, they saw something that this world has not seen again. It's really instructive. That's how the Christian life works. Sometimes you'll be like the disciples who obeyed orders and then didn't fully realize their blessedness until after the fact. And that's all right. Your place is to believe and obey. It's God's place to engineer the matter and bless your actions. Would you just do that? Let's look this way, take a hymn book and stand. Number 477, we're going to just sing a couple of verses. If somebody else needs to come, feel free. If not, that's no problem at all. Number 477. This morning, remind you to sign up for Anna and Caleb's reception if you haven't done that yet. There's also those two gazebos that Brother Duggan has, if anybody's interested in those. We have prayer meeting tonight at 5:30 here. Otherwise, services at 6. We look forward to seeing you then. Let's pray. Lord, we come back to you here this morning, and we recognize you're the God of the universe. Father, you order things after your own mind. We are not the captains of our fate. We are not the captains of our ship. You engineer things and put them together. You bless us or not. Father, it is our prerogative in this life to line up with your mindset, not to try to engineer our own. We love you. We need you. Father, we are weaker than we think, more sinful probably than we know. We have need for you to show us these things and be merciful to us. We thank you for your goodness to us through Jesus Christ. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Good morning, everybody.